Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Just want you just to turn to, just going to turn to a few passages. Imagine like a picture frame, and it's framing in a sense what God wants to do this morning. And you know, like on a jigsaw, you always work. Sometimes you work on the edges on the outside. We'll want to do the bit in the middle, but it's a bit on the outside that defines the whole picture. For you brave people that do start in the middle, God bless you. But we're going to just have frame it a little bit this morning. Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5. I'm going to be using the truth version. Praise God for that bridal love. Amen. What Pastor Colin spoke about a couple of weeks ago. That bridal love that, for me, Jesus didn't want to just deal with the sin. He just didn't want to just take me out of Egypt, but he wanted intimacy with me. I praise God that God has dealt with Egypt, but God doesn't get excited about Egypt. God gets excited about knowing us and us knowing him. And it says here, this is because he chose us before he created the world to belong to Christ, to be made holy and blameless in his sight. Because of this amazing love, he decided that we should be adopted as his sons when we place our faith in Christ Jesus. Yes, this was his purpose and even his joy. Before the creation of the world, God planned for not only our lives, but also many hundreds of thousands of lives in this surrounding area to come to know him, to meet with him, to be changed by him, that divine exchange happening. But just think about it for a minute. Before the creation of the world, God chose me, set me apart. You're a set apart person. You're holy. Amen. We're a holy people. And then Pastor Jane last Sunday, it's a surrendered life of love. It's a surrendered life of love. He has given everything. And we have everything that we need in Christ. He withheld nothing from us so that we could have life. And I just share this just scripture before we start. They're just reminders of the truth, in a sense, to the main jigsaw bit at the... Surely you realize that God has made your body a temple of the Holy Spirit who now lives in you. It's 1 Corinthians 6. This is God's doing, and you do not belong to yourself to do as you please. God has purchased you for himself. He has paid the price with you with his son's blood. So honor him in the way that you use your body. I can't walk forward and go forward without realizing that I've been bought with a price. And the price was so huge, the Almighty God giving his son, and that blood that flowed from the cross, that blood that purchased me, that blood that he bore, all of the darkness, all of the sin and the separation, and he set me apart. God hasn't just bought a bit of me. It's not just an arm and a leg. He's purchased the whole of us. I was created by him and for him, Colossians. I was created by him, but totally to be given over for him. But this isn't a slavish love. This is a love that compels us on the inside because he first loved us. How wonderful is that? Over the last few weeks, I've been just sort of meditating on a piece of scripture. God's been doing a number on me. And Psalm 25, this is verse 14. Now, this is in the New Living Translation. Friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who fear him. With them, he shares the secrets of his covenant. Friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who fear him. What is it to fear God? It's to be in awe of who he is. It's to understand that the very breath that I breathe, the very nature of me being alive is basically a gift. It's a gift. Life is a gift. To be alive is a gift. Because we were created by the Creator to worship him and to honor him and to serve him. And yet, what does it really mean to live in the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? Yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But really, in the fear of the Lord, I think it says in Scripture, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, thank you. But it's about that. It's about the reverence of God. It's about the mightiness of who he is. It's about everything. We work out that salvation in reverence to who he is, in reverence to what he has done, in reverence to what he has already achieved, in reverence that he has borne the price, in reverence to the fact that we have been made new creations, in reverence to the fact that we've been made holy. It's a gift. In reverence that he is our righteousness, in reverence that he is our holiness. Amen. We're living with that thing pumping on the inside of us. It's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And also, this it's almost like this tension. At one level, there's the fear of the Lord. And at another level, Jesus calls us friends. Yeah. And your head sort of goes, no, don't get that. Almighty God, creator of the universe. But listen to the words of Jesus. In John 15, he says, I no longer refer to you as servants, because it is not as a servant's place to know about his master's business. No, I've called you my friends because I've relayed to you whatever the Father has revealed to me. God, in his mercy, has enabled us to now come into the Holy of Holies to meet personally with us, to touch him, to hear his very words, and to have that place of union and communion. It's nothing we have could ever earn or do or deserve. It is a gift of salvation. Amen. It's a gift. It's a gift, and the price was so huge. And as we come in, every time we meet with God, God sees the blood over us. He sees that we're washed. He sees that we're cleansed. He sees that the access is because of what Jesus has done. And yet, we can be friends of Jesus. Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. Now, most of us know this probably in the NIV, but I've looked at it in Pastor Colin in the Truth Version, in a sense. The Lord's Spirit will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit who brings understanding of God and his ways. He is the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the spirit of power. He is the spirit who reveals the Lord and making him known. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Praise God that God hasn't left us bereft of power, bereft of ability to connect with God, to meet with God. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Isn't that amazing? But hundreds of years before even Jesus was born, Isaiah was it's almost like prophesying out. But Pastor Colin, as he's translated this is so amazing. The Spirit who enables people to live in the fear of the Lord. And this branch will delight to live in the fear of the Lord himself, wanting to please him. What does it say of Jesus? Jesus delighted to live in the fear of the Lord. It was his delight. I think it also said in Hebrews that, you know, God prayed out and cried loud cries of prayer and to his Father. He was heard because of his reverent submission. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the one that was there, that spoke the galaxies into being, the one that created and formed the whole universe and every living creature, empties himself down to the size of a man. And we can see this in Philippians 2 verse 6. It says, by nature he is God, but he did not hold on to his divine status of being equal in heaven with the Father. He prepared to make himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant and becoming thoroughly human. He was a man in every respect, even though he retained his divinity. Even so, he humbled himself to such an extent that he obeyed the Father's will, that he should die the death of a criminal on the cross. Wow. He was just like you and me. And yet he kept his divinity. He was the Son of God. He emptied himself of all the prestige and everything, all of the stuff. And he basically said, Father, not my will, but your will be done now. Everything, Father, that you do, everything is what you want to do. And I'm not going to do anything independently of you. I'm going to keep every area submitted of my life because that reverential fear of the Lord was just living with him. Why? Because he delighted in it. He delighted. Do you delight in the fear of the Lord? Yes. Amen. God wants us to delight in the fear of the Lord. It is the beginning of wisdom. I don't know, the older that you get, that sounds like an old man. No, the older that you get, you actually come to the place, I don't really know anything. Really? 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 You know, when you're younger, you think, you know, in a sense, you can, you know everything. And as you get older, you realize, actually, really, apart from Christ, I could do nothing, you know. And yet here we have this wonderful, perfect sacrifice, this wonderful Son that lays down his very life in love for the Father, but also the love for us. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, didn't he? What was the joy? That we would be in heaven with him. We would be eternally saved from hell, from being separated from him. That was the joy. But God doesn't want just it to be a holy huddle. He wants these walls here to so they don't exist, because he wants to touch the whole area through your life and through my life. Amen. Servants who live reverently in the fear of the Lord. We're going to just look at a couple of characters in the Bible. We're going to look at Abraham. I'm going to look at a guy called Lot. I'm going to, in the midst of telling you that story, I'm going to share a really bit of personal stuff that's gone off in my life. How that walk, I've had to walk with the Lord and some of the challenges of that. So, is everybody okay? Yes. All right. Do you want to turn to Genesis 18? Okay. Here is someone. Abraham is a friend of God. Amen. He's a father of faith. He's a friend of God. Here is someone who lived in that relationship of reverence. And yet, when you kind of read the stories, you kind of touch. You touch the humanity of it. You touch the kind of, sometimes it's, some of this makes us laugh. Some of this makes us cry. Some of it challenges us. Genesis 18, and we're kind of picking the story up really of, Abraham tried to do the Frank Sinatra thing. He tried to do it my way and it didn't work. Yeah. He tried to do the Ishmael thing and that didn't quite work out. Praise God, God hasn't given us any Ishmaels, amen. He wants us Isaacs. What's birthed out of our life is birthed out with the promise of God and the reality of our relationship with Him. And here's a challenge, and you kind of really you've got to understand this. And I shall try and do this without being disrespectful. All right. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah... What does that sound like in sort of Gary's Lutonian Dunstable voice? God, you're having a laugh. Look at me. I belong to the wrinkly club. I can't have a child. No, surely. Or words to that effect. Am I worn out and my master is old? Will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And say, I really have a child now that I am old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Our loved ones, our relations that are standing on the side of stubbornness and rebellion. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Because in His mercy, He can change someone's situation completely around. I will return at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, of course she was. So she lied and said, I didn't laugh. It wasn't me. Take the story on a lot further now. And I want you to imagine that day when after the baby's just been born. Isaac's just been born. And I can imagine, you can imagine sitting there as husband of wife and going, you can imagine it. You imagine what they must have been like. You know, Dad. We've got some new dads in the house. Okay, there's a lot of passion in that, isn't there? It's because they haven't slept for the last 15 years. No, Jeff. You will have blessed sleep. Now the dads. You know, can you imagine them walking out with Isaac? God, da 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 da. You know, they've got their promise. They've got their person. They've got the person that God promised. Is now, it's flesh and blood. There's a reality, and you can imagine walking about the town. You know, and like these. I've said to you before. You know, we joined the Cheshire Cat Club. You know, we smile. You know, Cheshire Cat, small legs. Tickles their tummy, smile a lot. You know, you imagine them walking around the streets, walking around the town, and just, hi, everyone. We won't worry about Ishmael, but why, you know, I tried that. But look at the promise. Look at now the promise. Amen. Look now at who I'm holding. Look, and Abraham knew that out of this young man would come to this hundreds of thousands and millions of people. The descendants of God would come out from this one thing. And then we push the story a lot further forward into Genesis 22. We've now not got a baby. We've got a strapping lad who's able to carry firewood. And he hears something from God. And you must have wondered what was going off in his head Let's just read this. Sometime later, verse 22, God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. And God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. And you see the reality of Abraham walking in the fear of the Lord and walking in total obedience. Why? Because it says early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him the two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. Can you imagine, again, bring yourself down into the picture. Can you imagine knowing what God has said to you and you're carrying this thing for 3 days? Can you imagine what that must have felt like? And yet, in his heart, there was this reverence. God is not a man that he should lie. If God has said something, I need to be obedient to God. There wasn't any wavering. So early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its thorns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Think about Jesus. But this sacrifice, you see, had to go through with it. This perfect one, this perfect lamb, men didn't kill him. God took him there. Men didn't kill him in a sense of, because he gave up his spirit. He gave up his life, voluntary. And how precious our lives are, that this sacrifice 2,000 years ago, the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. And by his wounds we are healed and we're made well. By those wounds. Those wounds declare the righteousness of God and the justice of God. The punishment, the cross, is a mark in history that shows for all of creation God is a just God and God is a righteous God. Amen. And so God knew that in his heart, even though we don't understand the reason or the benefit from it. Have you ever found yourself saying to someone, or has been God's been dealing with you, God's been working on me for months, and I haven't done it yet. God's told me about something, and I haven't done it yet. What does that show? Delayed obedience is disobedience. What does it show? In my own time, God? When I feel like it? Where's the fear of the Lord in that? Even when we don't see the reason or benefit from it, it's when we place God's desire above our own. Lord, not my will, but yours. It means we obey even when we don't understand, and sometimes even when it hurts. Yeah? I want to share you, the first one's a little, I want to make this personal, bring it down, and then we'll come back to look at Lot in a minute. Many years ago, I used to be part of the church up in Yorkshire, and God has taken me on a massive journey in sort of involved in worship and stuff like that. And so we had a privilege of being part of sort of the worship team at Lamplugh House. The church in Scarborough is phenomenal now, and what God is doing with that. And Pastor Clive might share a little bit later. But it was kind of the initial startings of the church and everything that was happening there. And we were up there for a few years. And I can remember, because of a relationship we had with someone in the locality, a lady called Suzette Hatting was coming to do a conference in the area. And so they wanted us for the worship team. Father God. And Suzette Hatting is an amazing apostolic person. She is a prayer warrior on fire. You know, she is like, don't mess kind of thing. So I knew it was kind of like, this is going to be hot, this is going to be good. So me and a few of the other guys, Rob Sags, maybe some of you know, and friends that we've got up there, all part of this band. And we had a phenomenal time in God. The power of God was released, the presence of God, healings and miracles. And Suzette, she's quite a prophetic person. And when everybody had left and she was still sort of hovering around, she actually wanted to pray for everyone in the band. And I thought, this is it. My time has come. I'm going to get a prophetic word from a prayer warrior who speaks across nations and does fantastic stuff, and it's going to be amazing. And so, you know, I mean, there's a heart of expectancy there. I can remember... And all my mates, you know, that were all lining up, and she was praying for them, you know, you're gonna see nations, you know, the power of God's gonna be released through your life. And I'm like, it's getting ready for me. Oh, God, it's getting ready for me. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Come on, God, bring it on. Bring it on, Lord. Whatever you got, bring it on. And she turns around and she says to me, this wasn't funny, but she says to me in this South African lovely strong thing, she says, Gary, God is going to ask you to do stuff you don't want to do. And I didn't want that one. I wanted that one. No, can we go again? Can I run round the line and go? Can we have another try, please, God? Can we try again? Come on, you can do this. Gary, God is going to ask you to do stuff. Sorry, bad South African. You don't want to do. Oh God. And, you know, inside again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Inside again. Oh, God, really, really? Really, really? Is that it? Is this my life, Lord? Thank you very much. You know what I mean? All the stuff that goes off inside. Oh, what a joy that was. And a few years later, we went through the most horrendous time there, and we ended up having to take over the running and leading of the church. And I was left with, I don't know whether it was 60 or 70, really just broken people, hurting people. And it's like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, I love you. And you see, and in that time, it was an amazing time because it was the most stretching time of our lives. And it was where, you know, that dependency upon God and the fear of the Lord and all those stuff that's formed in there. And in my heart, it was the toughest thing that we'd ever walked through. But there was a bigger one coming. There was a bigger test coming. There was a bigger baby that I didn't expect that was going to come and be placed on this altar. And it's nothing compared to the cross. I know that. I'm not, you know, devaluing what Jesus did on the cross, because it's nothing. Our costs are nothing compared to that. But here is a situation where I used to come down, you know, leading the church up there. I used to come down for revival meetings here. And just really, we come down as a team and just really get impacted by God. And during that time of being up there, Rachel's mum and dad, bless their little hearts, they moved up with us. And they'd got their dream. They were with Rachel and myself. I think Samuel was a little baby then. He's not a little baby now. Sarah's gone to university now, so she was quite small then, you know. But they had their dream. They had it was like, you know, the love that we had. John Mackay was up there at the time, and it's just, I loved him. And it was just fantastic. And God started building the church, building the people's lives back, building the things that have got damaged and making them well again, because that's what he's good at. Yeah. And then what happened is I came down to a conference here. I can remember it now. I can remember being at Rothy. I was at the back of the worship hall. I can even remember Anne was leading worship. Anne Kent, she was leading worship at the time. And I stood there and the Lord, you know, I was standing at the back of the room and the Lord said to me, Gary, you're going to go and work with Pastor Colin again. And I'm like, you know, can sometimes we hear things from God and we're like, was that you? Yeah. And all of a sudden, Pastor Colin was, you know, used to pray for all the leaders then as they'd come, and he's getting near me and I start blubbing. What's the matter, man? What are you doing? And I started crying. And he just looked at me. And he just said, Gary, he said, your time at Lampu is finished. That was quick. That was like really, really quick. I knew at that moment that what I'd have to do is I'd have to say to Rachel's mum and dad, we're not going to be here. We're not going to be part, in a sense, of your lives in that time now. And so It was a very challenging time, because we then had to know that God was calling us into something. But praise God, if we are obedient to Him, if we really fear Him in a reverent way, He makes a way where there's no other way. Amen. And I just want to really just, in sense, I can't, it's difficult, I have to be as concise as I can now. What's the difference, in a sense, for someone like Lot in the Old Testament? You see, Lot was his nephew, and he didn't really have the fear of the Lord in his life. When they parted company, I'll just read it briefly. Genesis 13, Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of the Jordan, where it was well watered, like the gardens of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan, set out towards the east. The two men parted company. There was always a tension between the spirit and the flesh. I had a choice in what I was doing. I could have stayed there, but I would have been in disobedience because I wouldn't have been walking with the call of God in my life. Who was I fearing? You see, the problem with Lot is, you see, what was he doing? He was looking out over the land and looking out, you know, looking out over the good bit. And then all of a sudden, You know, you can imagine him seeing, having these thoughts, you know, of Sodom and Gomorrah, that, you know, those cities are there and there's not some good stuff about with them. And in his heart, he could have been, you know, I will look but not go near. But when we find in verse 12, we find he's now moved his tents right near the city. Later, in verse 19, what we find is Lot is now inside the city because he wasn't living with a revelation of the fear of the Lord. He wasn't living. I want to be really open with you today and be really real. There are some people here that are struggling with stuff. And it's almost like you've placed your life, like Lot, in a bit of a precarious situation. You've placed yourself near a city. Now, the mercy of God, it was only the mercy of God that got him out of that. Do you remember what happened with Abraham? God told Abraham, you know, what was going to happen because of that covenant relationship. And Abraham even got into a little bit of a, God, if it's 50 of them, can you save them? He got down to 10. Feels a bit cheeky. But it wasn't, because of that reverence there.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I know that we've just had this happen today, but Jesus is above all of this, and Jesus is still concerned about your hearts this morning. Now, what I believe what God wants us to do in our response to him is he wants us to surrender afresh our lives to him. He wants us to yield our lives to him. If there's any situations where you've been putting stuff off from God, if you've been pushing it away, and you say, well, no, another 6 months, Lord, that needs to change today. Amen?
Amen.
And what I want to do, just for a few minutes, for some of you, it could be that there's stuff in your life that you're working through and you found yourself in this position. And God said, it's time to detangle yourself from sin and come away from that. I want to give people an opportunity to make a fresh surrender in their lives before the Lord. So should we stand now? Should we stand? Lord, I want the fear of the Lord to be the reality of my heart and my life. Let's just lift our hands to him now. I want the fear of the Lord to be the reality of my life. Lord, if you've spoken stuff to me and I haven't obeyed you and I've stayed in that place where it doesn't really matter, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. I choose to step in obedience now with your will. I choose to surrender, Lord God, even though it might cost me, even though it might hurt me, even though in a sense of emotionally feel hurt. But Lord God, I push through that and I'm obedient to your will, Lord God. Because you know, Lord God, you know, Lord Jesus. And for those that have camped near a city today, it's time to come away from the city and it's time to come into the purposes of God. It's time to step away from sin. Your holy called child set apart for his glory. And we're just going to worship the Lord now. If some of you guys, if you want to come and lay your life down before him at the front, you can. But in this time of worship, let's let the reality of what God does in your heart. Lord, I want the fear of the Lord in my heart. I want that fear of the Lord, Lord, to resonate through my body. Because, Lord, I thank you for the high calling that you have on my life, for the high calling that you have on this church, Lord God. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that I'm going to walk. I'm not going to, Father, try and hold on to stuff if you're telling me to let stuff go. But Lord, I entrust, Lord, any dreams, any Isaacs to you. I entrust, Lord God, these things to your, into your hands now. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship. Just be in your heart. In your heart. Jesus, do something new now. Jesus, do something new.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.